Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We welcome on Dr. Tom Russo. He is Chief of Infectious Diseases at the Jacobs School of Medicine, talking about, well, the upcoming holiday. Dr. Russo, thanks for joining us. You know, this is kind of the period of time we've been given a big warning about when it comes to the spread of the virus, with a lot of gatherings expected over the holidays. What are you expecting to see over the next 2 to 3 weeks?
Well, Brian, I think we're looking at really more than a 2 to 3 week period. We're talking about sort of the combination of Thanksgiving, the religious holidays, then January 1st celebration of the new year. So we have a series of holidays and events coming up that traditionally people have gathered and celebrated together, often involving food and drink indoors. And we know that scenario is a prime setting for continued spread of the new coronavirus. So we had a bad month. We're still sort of not in a great spot. We maybe sort of settled just a whiff. But I'm quite concerned that, the reversal that I was hoping for is going to be lost with Thanksgiving and the subsequent holidays. I'm hoping for the best, but unfortunately I've got a feeling what I've seen with all this travel that that's not going to be the case.
You know, and what we're seeing right now locally and around the country, Dr. Fauci this morning called it a surge upon a surge. Hospitalization rates have never been higher than they are right now in Erie County. What is your best advice for someone who is still planning to attend some kind of a gathering tomorrow?
Well, it depends on how well they were prepared. So if you're going to mix household or cross social bubbles, the safest way to do that is if all the individuals involved undergo a rigorous quarantine, a self-quarantine for 14 days, and at the end of that quarantine, get a test for the new coronavirus. And if it's negative, then they could feel, with a relative degree, you can never get that risk down to zero, that it's probably then safe for those individuals to sort of cross the social bubble. Unfortunately, the timing to do that is past. And it's also contingent upon, after you do the quarantine, you could travel safely from place A to B. And obviously, and that involves plane, train, bus, et cetera, then that's going to involve a certain amount of risk. What a lot of people are doing, say, I'm just going to go out, I'm going to get a test, and if I'm negative, I'm good. If you get a test and positive, actually that has a lot of value. That means that you shouldn't get together with those other individuals. But if it's negative and it's not at the end of a quarantine period, you could still have been exposed and incubating and negative the day of the test and then show up for the festivities, be infectious, and spread the virus to others. And so this is going to be a risky situation we're facing unless you've decided just to celebrate Thanksgiving within your own household or within your own social bubble. Otherwise, the risk in most circumstances could be significant.
You know, we've been talking a lot about testing today and some of the questions people have when it comes to testing. How much is it going to cost? Where can I get the free test? Where might it cost me money? There was confusion yesterday with Rite Aid saying they were ending their no-cost testing and then, you know, quickly after saying, well, no, now we're expanding no-cost testing. Is it surprising to you, or am I just, you know, too pie in the sky thinking of a lot of these things, that you know, by this point, we've had, you know, so many months to prepare. Should we not have some sort of easy to take, maybe even take at home test that is already widely available for people to, you know, be able to gauge their risk that way and have a better idea on if they are carrying COVID?
Yeah, Brian, we've talked about this several times, and both of us have been desperately waiting for sort of the home pregnancy equivalent test, right, where it's inexpensive, costs maybe $1 to $5. You could do it at home yourself, and you could test yourself every day. Daily testing is by far the most effective means, as opposed to that single point of time, which sometimes you have to wait days for the result. And so if you're positive, loses lots of public health value. Now, companies have been working on this, and we've just had one so far that's been approved on an emergency use authorization by the FDA, accompanied by Lucira. But it's not going to be widely available this spring. It's expensive. It's $50. It still requires a doctor's prescription. So we're not there yet. This is the solution, or at least part of the solution, from a testing point of view that we'd desperately like to have. I remain hopeful. Hopefully it'll become available soon, but we're just not there yet, unfortunately.
Why not? Where did we either go wrong, or was it always unrealistic to expect that by now?
It's not unrealistic, and so these rapid tests could be based on detection of the nucleic acid of the virus, but usually they're based on detecting what we call antigen or protein parts of the virus, the technology is out there. It's not quite clear to me why this hasn't been more widely available at a lower cost. I think it will be. I just don't have an explanation for you why it's taking as long as it has at this point.
You know, Dr. Russo, I heard this morning the CDC is considering shortening the quarantine period if someone is exposed to a person who's COVID positive, reducing it from 14 days to either 7 to 10 days. Why would they do that right now?
Yeah, I have a little bit of mixed feelings about that, Susan. I could see 14 to 12 days. We know that at least people that are going to become symptomatic, 97% will be symptomatic by 12 days. If you drop it down to the 7-day mark, there's going to be a significant number of individuals that will still develop symptoms after that. So I haven't seen their line of reasoning and the rationale for this as of yet. I'd like to see that, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
We've had, you know, a lot of positive news on vaccine development over the last several weeks. Since we've last talked to you, I believe the Oxford vaccine is kind of taking that next step forward, maybe not as far along as some of the others, the Pfizer and Moderna that we've heard so much about. But the Oxford vaccine is a little bit different. I'm wondering if you might be able to, in layman's terms, so to speak, kind of explain the difference between what Pfizer and Moderna are doing and what the Oxford vaccine is, and if we should at all be aware of it, concerned about it, or paying attention, or is, you know, a vaccine, and it doesn't matter to us?
Well, a vaccine is not a vaccine, and they could, you know, how well they work and potential side effects could vary, and that's why we do these large trials to sort that out. In short, the AstraZeneca Oxford vaccine, it targets the same piece of the virus, the spike protein. That's what all our first phase vaccines are targeting at this point. The way it does it is slightly different. The code or message for that spike protein for us to develop antibodies against this is in the form of DNA that's delivered in a viral vector, an adenovirus viral vector. That vector, once it gets into the cells, cannot replicate. It sort of releases its payload, the code, and then the protein is made and the body develops antibodies against it. By contrast, the RNA vaccines that we've heard about from Moderna and Pfizer, it's RNA that's delivered into the cell, which subsequently then gets made into the protein. So there's some subtle differences here. The devil is in the details. At the end of the day, they may be equally efficacious and safe, or one may prove to be better, given the host, the ethnic background, the age of the individual as well. And that's why it's nice to have multiple lines in the water that have been broadly tested against, large populations. So it may be at the end of the day that some of these are better for some groups than others, or it may be that they all work equally well, but having a choice and options in the long run is going to be beneficial. And, of course, there's some significant issues here with costs and supply chain. The new vaccine from Oxford is a fridge vaccine. It's going to be cheaper to make, and it's going to be easier to distribute. So that's going to work very well in countries that are not going to be able to meet these challenging logistical needs of, minus 70 temperatures for the RNA vaccine.
Right. And now it's a double dose vaccine for all of them. But if you start out getting the Oxford vaccine, that second dose can't be the Moderna or Pfizer one, right?
Yeah, we don't want to cross the beams here at this point, because obviously in a given trial, it's going to be based on a certain vaccine with a certain regimen. And so that's how it's going to go at this point. With time, we may learn that, getting dose A of one and then a different dose another may even work better. But we really need data and trials and solid scientific evidence to ascertain that that would be efficacious even better. So, yes, at this point, once you start with the vaccine, if it's a multi-dose vaccine, you would end with that vaccine.
All right, now is the time for you to tell me how crazy I am. I love to talk about having people in the Bills stadium. And we're being realistic. It doesn't look like the governor is going to allow that to happen anytime in the future. But, Dr. Russo, January 10th, that's the day, around there, we could be looking at a Bills playoff game. And my thinking is, by then, could we have a few thousand, maybe even just 1,000, vaccinated local healthcare workers in the stands for that game by that time in January? Is that too optimistic?
Well, first, Brian, if they don't make the playoffs, you jinx them and we're all going to hold you responsible.
I'm not even thinking about that now.
We're all going to remember this moment right now. Unfortunately, with the timing as such, the vaccine we think might be available mid-December. And remember, it's a two-shot vaccine with either 3 or 4 weeks apart, and then maximum protection is probably 2 weeks after that. So I think that with your scenario, maybe we should look for beyond the first round of the playoffs.
I like what you're saying, but, don't jinx it, Dr. Russo. What are you doing? all right. Hey, we appreciate the time and hope you have a great holiday.
Come this one.
All right. Dr. Russo, thanks so much. That's Chief of Infectious Disease at the Jacobs School of Medicine, Dr. Tom Russo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.